It started with a campaign that we call Man Therapy. We launched it in 2012, and it really changed the game for suicide prevention. And I'm so proud of the work that we did on that. Like, we use humor to break through the stigma. We have a fictional therapist, Dr. Rich Mahogany. We have a platform where he is the resident therapist. No one was using technology back in 2012. To do a behavioral health intervention. And what we discovered is there's a mental health crisis facing every college and university in the country. Mm. And there's an underlying challenge. Suicide is a problem. We lose about 1,200 students on college campuses every year to suicide. However, there's an underlying mental health crisis that's really getting in the way of student success. And we knew it was a problem not just at Colorado State, but across the entire country.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with a real leader who I've gotten to know over the last, I would say, year or so, but that's an interesting story that we'll talk about. He's a creative entrepreneur and digital health pioneer. Working in the Denver area, and he believes in the power of innovation, creativity, and technology to solve pretty much any problem. Joe, I am so happy to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining.
Shauna, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here and spend a little quality time talking with you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. So folks, I always tell you how I know my guests, and this is where the little bit of the funny story comes in. Joe and I have a mutual friend named Tony Schiller. And I don't say a few months ago, Tony says to me, Shauna, I've got to introduce you to my friend Joe there in Denver. I said, okay. He always has great connections. And so he introduced me to, again, just air quotes, Joe. So I get this email, comes across, and it's Joe Conrad of Cactus. And I was like, wait, I know Joe. So folks, Joe is the founder and CEO of Cactus Agency, which is based here in Denver. He is also the founder and CEO of Grit Digital Health. And I happen to know his business partner, Norm Shearer. I've known Norm for going back before the pandemic even, and had the honor of coming into your agency and giving a bit of a leadership talk at some point, again, before the pandemic. So when we got reconnected by Tony, it was such a wonderful thing. And it's kind of one of those, as you and I were saying, like serendipitous things. You're like, we are meant to be brought together. So, folks, again, like good people bring good people around. So it was just a real fun time to be able to reconnect with you, Joe.
Yeah, you as well. And you're right. Tony is like that. He's one of those connectors. In fact, I have three emails from him today connecting me to other people. So I'm always happy with the connections that I make through Tony. And it was very serendipitous that we were able to meet. And we obviously had met and crossed paths before, but we had so much to talk about. And, I think the work that you've done and are pursuing and my career journey so far just opened up a lot of conversations. So yeah, I look forward to delving in with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about kind of where you're at now with your two entities. And because I like to give the audience a bit of a foundation of what you have your, feet in on a daily basis. So can you give us a snapshot of Cactus from the agency side and Grit Digital Health?
Absolutely. I didn't set out to do this, to found and cooperate two different companies at the same time. It's just how it worked out, and it's working out for now. But my story and how we got here is I started and founded an ad agency in 1990 called Cactus here in Denver. We're a full service shop. And the idea was to always do purposeful driven work. I thought that might be a pretty cool thing if I was able to apply my talents and those of our team to work on issues and causes and for organizations and people that we believed in. That might be a pretty cool thing. So that was 33 years ago, and that's kind of the journey that Cactus has been on. And that work led us to do some really breakthrough campaigns targeting working age men around the issue of suicide. And a campaign that we developed there really opened my eyes to the power of using a creative technology platform to address behavioral health issues. And so that work led me and our team to have an idea for a different business, different vertical altogether, and a different business model. And so in 2016, we founded Grit Digital Health. And so it happened quite organically. It kind of grew out of us wanting to be innovative and solve problems. And it really made sense to form a separate company because the business model was so unique. And so at that point, I found myself just splitting my time trying to get this new startup off the ground while nurturing a decades old ad agency and trying to keep it relevant and thriving as well. And so, yeah, that's what I've been doing for the past 7 years is trying to operate and grow each of these really important to me and purpose-driven companies.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the things that I was drawn to when I first met Norm when I was, it was back in like around 2015 or 16 when I moved out.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
And I was so drawn because of the work you were doing that was purpose driven because there were so many agencies out. There are so many agencies and have been. But I really love that element that you are bringing to it, that those were the type of brands that you were purposely, you were intentionally working with. And so has you been able to have that be your like a red thread of what you're doing since you started the company? And is that can you just talk to the audience about how you've been able to maintain that?
Yeah, when I founded Cactus in 1990, there weren't many companies calling themselves purpose-driven.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like today you can't turn around without seeing purpose driven this, purpose driven that. And I think right. It's really great that it's become part of our mainstream culture and our business climate that people are operating businesses more than just to make a profit. But mm-hmm. back in 1990, we were kind of the weird guys on the block who were talking about doing that. And yeah. It really came from me realizing that the best way I can have an impact in the world was by helping brands that I believed in tell their story. And I thought, okay, if we can help a nonprofit who has a really important mission but sucks at marketing, if we can help them tell their story and compete, you know, with other brands out there for people's time and attention, it could really grow, you know, their mission and help them better support their cause, whatever that might be. And so that was kind of the vision from day one. And mm-hmm. you know, how do you take that and also turn it into a profitable business model? And trying to thread the two has kind of been central to what my own personal business ethos is all about. And so it hasn't always been easy to be able to do that. We work with at Cactus, we work with lots of different brands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, over the past 33 years, we've worked with more than 100 nonprofit organizations. We do a lot of state foundational work around behavior change campaigns. We get involved with a number of different issues, whether it's marijuana proper usage and education around that, mm-hmm. or it's the fentanyl crisis. We're getting involved. We're doing a really interesting campaign around that, or trying to, you know, call the citizens to impeach Donald Trump at the polls in 2020. I mean, it's really just getting involved in things that we believe in. And kind of leaning into that and trying to turn that into a business has been a challenge at times, but also I think it's kind of definitely been a North Star to help guide our agency. And it's helped us, I think, draw people to the agency, people that work here and our clients that know that we do that kind of work. So mm-hmm. you know, we've developed a reputation for that. And so that's been a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But you've done it, as you said, for a lot of these nonprofit type organizations, but you also have consumer facing brands that are your clients as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we realized early on that it didn't just have to stop at nonprofits because, you know, I think brands are also trying to behave in such a way where they want to you know, attract people to their business because of the kind of corporate citizen they are, what they believe in, their core values. And so that work is important. And we can bring that to consumer facing brands just as well. And I think the fact that we did it for so many nonprofits and cause related things made us a very credible source when brands also wanted to kind of move in that direction with the positioning of their brand.
Yeah, absolutely. So you made that move to create, you know, to create Cactus and again, in a very intentional way. And then you said about 9 years ago, you started Grit Digital Health. And so can you paint the picture? Because you talked about the men, the challenge that you were seeing in in this space for men. But my understanding is that Grit Digital Health actually has several different product offerings. So can you give people kind of an understanding of all that you do on that side of the business?
Be happy to. And I think it's a real lesson in that, the things that you do, the work you create and put out into the world and the ripples that it causes and the impact it has and the attention it gets just leads to other things, right? And there's this natural, I think, beauty to the universe that doors open up and the synchronicity happens. And that's certainly been the case with all of the work that we've done. It started with a campaign that we call Man Therapy. We launched it in 2012, and it really changed the game for suicide prevention. Like, we use humor to break through the stigma. We have a fictional therapist, Dr. Rich Mahogany. We have a platform where he is the resident therapist. And it really, I think, no one was using technology back in 2012 to do a behavioral health intervention. And so we were definitely on the cusp of doing something innovative, but also using humor to address such a complex issue. So I think that it really was us just applying our craft as good marketers, and being able to craft a campaign. And I'm so proud of the work that we did on that, because we also had a very tiny budget to work with, and we had a daunting problem, right? So I've always believed that there's no issue that can't be solved through good, effective communications. However, I felt like we met our match perhaps when it came to taking on the issue of suicide among men. I mean, it's such a dark and complex issue. I mean, could a ad campaign, could a website possibly have an impact on such a complex and dark issue? And I really thought maybe we had met our match on this one. I had my doubts, but our team applied that same approach that we would work with a big brand as far as really consumer insights to understand the issue. How can you have a smart way in from a strategic perspective? And then how can you really come up with a brilliant creative idea and high quality production that really sets it apart? And so we really did all those things well with Man Therapy, and then created a digital platform that when we launched it into the world, it just resonated. It developed, Man Therapy developed this cult following. And this little campaign from Colorado got a feature article in the New York Times. Suddenly, we were getting visits from all over the world, and Australia worked with us to create their own version. And other states would call us and want to license it, because it turned out to be a turnkey men's mental health campaign, and everybody was kind of looking for that. So it kind of opened our ideas to the potential of this. And oftentimes, a campaign will run for a few months, maybe a couple years if you're lucky. And Man Therapy is coming up on its 12th year now. And
It's
so
incredible.
the fact that this campaign continues to grow in size and scope says that we were really on to something. And so it really just kind of organically grew into this behavioral health space of like, wow, how can we continue to use our talents as brand marketers and creatives? And how could we bring that power to the behavioral health space, was kind of the premise. But Man Therapy really unlocked all that, just because we were trying to do a campaign that we believed in. We put everything into it. But what we put out into the world and what we got back just fueled our passion for this space, and how else we can start to leverage that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was then your the sort of impetus to have the other offerings. I know you have an offering that helps in the school space as well, and some others.
Yeah, a good example of kind of this synchronicity that happens in the universe. There's that ambulance that I was talking about. The synchronicity that happens in the universe. We had launched Man Therapy and had developed a reputation for that campaign. And in 2014, I got a call from my alma mater, Colorado State, up in Fort Collins. And they were really concerned because they had 17 student suicides in a 2-year academic period. And so they were, obviously alarmed at that. And they knew about my work in suicide prevention, and I was pretty active as an alum. So they just had me up for a conversation to kind of share with me what was going on their campus. And what we discovered is there's a mental health crisis facing every college and university in the country. And there's an underlying challenge. Suicide is a problem. We lose about 1,200 students on college campuses every year to suicide. However, there's an underlying mental health crisis that's really getting in the way of student success. And we knew it was a problem, not just at Colorado State, but across the entire country, and really around the world for that matter. And so we began where we always do by going to the source and learning about what was getting in the way of college students' experience and what was holding them back, what was derailing their student success journey. And we uncovered a lot of really great insights, and we saw a need in the world for a new type of digital platform that really puts students at the center of the well-being experience. And it wasn't being met by any campus in the world based on our research. So together with Colorado State, we developed what we call the U platform, and it personalizes the well-being experience for every user, and it helps them navigate life and college and campus and make the most of their experience while they're there. And so we launched the platform in 2015 as a pilot on campus. It was very well received, and with that, the campus had the confidence to launch the platform to the entire student body. And then we had our first real, you know, campus using it and students giving us feedback. And at that point in time, we decided, you know, it makes sense, instead of just doing it as a passion project of the agency, let's start a separate company that's very intentionally focused on selling software as a service, as a license model with higher education. And let's deliver a real value and solve a problem for them and really help students make the most of that college experience. And, you know, it helps with retention and graduation rates and ultimately students just being successful on that campus. And it's this idea that the best defense is a good offense. So how can we help students not just survive, but really thrive and make the most of it? And so at that point is when we founded Grit Digital Health and started hiring a different type of employee team to go crack that. So today, Grit Digital Health has about 22 people that develop products for college students, but we also have recreated the platform for veterans, first responders, and also for corporate employees as well.
So awesome. It's so awesome. I think what you were saying earlier about there's so many people that jumped into the purpose and the impact space over the last 10 plus years. And I just love the way that you talked about it, with the lens of solving these problems and, you know, really putting it in the hands of the people so that you can, you know, they're actively, you know, part of it. And it's not just a marketing ploy. It is a true solution that you're bringing. And it comes back to what I was saying when I was introducing you. What I've come to find out about you is, you know, really believing in the power of creativity, innovation, and technology. So I'm really glad that you shared that with the audience. And, you know, it's like whoever's listening, again, if you see a problem, you can actually help create it, but also do it in a, you know, in a way that you're going to can create a business around that.
Yeah, I think the challenge was, you know, how can we develop a solution that really provides utility and value to the user and fits an unmet need that does a job in their life that they didn't have elsewhere. And for college, it seemed like the perfect place for it because it's an important transition that a young person is making. Maybe they're moving thousands of miles away from home. They don't have a strong friend set. Maybe they aren't prepared to take on all the challenges and rigors that they're going to face. And perhaps they could use a tool that helped them kind of work on themselves. Our platform is not about social media. It's not about, like, you know, other people. It's about really doing the work and understanding your own challenges and opportunities. How can you be more resilient? How can you be more persistent? How can you develop a growth mindset? How can you set goals and go achieve them? And how do we support that with really great, reliable information and tools and resources that allow people to, you know, just kind of take charge of their future? And it seemed to be hit the right time at the right place for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a really great description, I think, of how a user actually engages with it. So, and you said earlier, like, your client was Colorado State University. So you were building this. So, and you said it was licensed software. So can you talk a little bit more about if people are hearing this and they're like, wow, I want to get involved, whether it's, again, like a business, like a B, the B2B side, they're like, I'd like something like that for me. Or is there ways that you integrate brands into it to help to create that value proposition for the users? Just from a business ecosystem, I'd love for you to give a little bit of context to that.
We developed it very specifically for college students. So, like all of the insight planning and the student-centered design process and the prototyping was all co-designed with students. However, I think we tapped into something that is just about human behavior and how you can set goals and change your mindset, and then really do the work towards that, so it doesn't happen by accident. So I think we cracked something that goes beyond just college students, but it was hyper developed for college students. And then it happened really quite naturally once again. The first call we got was from a veterans group funded through the VA, and they were trying to do outreach to veterans in rural areas throughout Colorado. So once again, it started in Colorado. They were intrigued by our platform, and they said, man, it would be great if it could do all those things that it does, but do it for veterans. Will it work for veterans? And at the time, we thought that it would, but it's just theory until you put it into practice. So we got a contract from this organization to really go through and do the transcreation process and really honor, and try to understand what's going on with veterans. What are the challenges and opportunities they face? What types of content would really be useful for them and helpful in lots of different life experiences? And how can you deliver experiences by connecting them to resources that they may not otherwise have? And it's putting the right resource at the right time in front of somebody. So whatever they're wrestling with, they can take charge of that and start to make progress, right? And kind of get over those high centered points that they may find themselves in. So we did just that. We spent a lot of time researching, talking to veterans, not just, the 65-year-old Vietnam veteran, but we also talked to the 25-year-old Afghanistan veteran, and from every branch of service, because it's very different if you're in the Navy or if you're a Marine or a different branch of the service. So we really wanted it to be all encompassing. And we also found some things that are unique to veterans. And so the kind of content that we developed and then the resources are really amazing. There's so many veterans programs and resources, but how do you keep track of it all? So we're kind of a digital front door for that, right? We're a wayfinding system for veterans to figure out their own stuff and what they might need, and then put them in touch with whatever information or resource or tool that can really help them in the moment. And so we're really that digital front door that helps drive engagement and helps support veteran well-being. And so that's the concept. And so we launched Operation Veteran Strong as a pilot in Colorado. It's gone really, really well. And so we're hoping that we can find a partner to expand that. And we've done that same thing. A foundation came to us during the pandemic when frontline workers, first responders, police officers, fire service, EMTs, frontline medical workers were really, in the teeth of it all. And they were really struggling their own mental health and well-being. So we did the exact same process for first responders. And so we have a tool targeting them. So it's using the technology, which is a really sophisticated piece of software, the well-being platform. And how can we use that technology stack and repurpose it for different audiences? And we've proven that you can do that successfully as part of our business model.
Makes so much sense. And I really appreciate how you've described how you've created, how you create solutions for other companies, for audiences. And I also want to double down a little bit on how you actually turn that internally, that purpose-driven leadership that you in how you created and you run Cactus and Grit Digital. I know that you wrote an article, I believe, for Adweek 360, and you were on a panel at Adweek, and you were really talking about this urgency, especially in the agency space, too, about well-being. So I'm sharing this because I think it's, you bring a I think a very aware type of leadership to the table, and you're not just doing this for other organizations. You're also doing this in your own. So I would love for you to talk a bit about share kind of how you created that in your own organizations.
It's something that goes, I think, way back to the founding of Cactus, of doing purpose-driven work and, you know, encouraging people to come here and do the best work of their career. We wanted to pay them fairly, you know, because you have to make a living. We wanted people to really feel like they were growing professionally, their work, their portfolio was growing and getting better and better. And then also the third leg of that is that you can come do work that you believe in, that gives you a sense of accomplishment and contribution that you may not find elsewhere. And so that's always been a core value. And from that, we have six core values that have emerged from Cactus. And it was in 2020 when we really started to look at like the health of our employees and our staff. And we wanted to go even further, because I think ad agencies do a great job of really, you know, making sure we have competitive pay, that people have a healthy work environment, that you have unlimited PTO, that we support them, you know, with lots of different fun things, lots of outings and lunches and, you know, events. And it tends to just come along with the territory. But I also realize that it can be a place that is really challenging, deadlines, client pressures, you know, it's a fast paced environment. So we're really concerned about like our employee well-being. And that's one thing that we weren't talking about in our list of core values, because we have things like leadership and collaboration and critical thought and passion. And we thought, you know, what's missing from this is what about just the well-being of our staff? And so we actually carved out a seventh core value that we wrote up and introduced, and it's around well-being. And so that's where it really kind of evolved for us as an agency, was where we put that name on it. I think we've always operated like that, but I think that coining that, hey, we're going to bring well-being to the forefront and make that an important asset. And so we wanted to not just talk the talk, we wanted to back it up. And so, you know, we put a lot of programming in place to really support our employees, making sure that we have a really open atmosphere where everything can be talked about. And there's a lot of open dialogue that we encourage. And, you know, I think leaders exhibit in how we behave, that we're open to taking care of our and prioritizing our own mental health and well-being. And then we decided to repurpose our You platform for our employees. So we created this platform called You at Cactus, and it's really great. It does everything that the well-being platform does. It helps people succeed, thrive, and matter. So success is financial and career success. Thrive is physical and mental health, and then matter is purpose and meaning and social connections. And so we've really just created that resource for our employees. It's where our employee handbook is, a lot of our culture information, a lot of our EAP resources can be connected to right through this platform. But our employees can, you know, take advantage of all the well-being content and tools that we've built up there, and we've made it specific for an ad agency. So we're trying to, you know, really behave that way and point our tools and leverage them for our own staff well-being. And then it really grew when we were doing a series back in March for Mental Health Awareness Month, where I pulled together a panel of leading ad agency CEOs from around the country just to talk about this issue. What are you doing at your agency to support the mental health and well-being of your staff? And that's where it occurred to me that, you know, we talk a lot about D, E, I, and B, which are all really important. And the reason you do it is because you have a better, more effective team, and you're able to produce more work that's more in touch and more effective. And we thought, well, you know, what's missing from that is the W for well-being, because, you know, it really begins and ends with our teams and our staff. And if they're not thriving, we're not thriving as an agency. So I coined that. This term that maybe it's time to add a new letter onto the acronym that I think is deserved. And so trying to call it DEI, B, and W, just to make it more top of mind. And I think when people are more aware of something, they prioritize it. And then, you know, it has a residual impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's so much that goes on in fast-paced organizations like an agency, where there can often be, because I worked in an agency world for so you know, for many years. And so I can say that from being in it, that a lot
Yeah.
of times there is that feeling of like, you know, the people are just grinding out the work and you care so much about the clients, but you get a lot of that conversation around, well, what about us? And so I do think that it's really wonderful to hear you, you know, you opening up this conversation to really help decrease that burnout and hopefully change some of the stereotyping that goes on. For some, you know, you hear people talk about, oh, the agency life, you know, oh, agency life is brutal and stuff like that. So how can we actually ch start to change that rather than just being like, well, suck it up. It's just part of the way it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think we all went through a lot of changes, especially in
Yeah.
2020, that I think really pushed the world to a better place where people are just, I think, prioritizing that in their life. And I think corporations of all different types are coming to grips with that and what that
Yeah.
means for them. But it probably needed to be a gestalt shift in a direction of health and wellness from the grind that I think
Yeah,
was typical.
absolutely, absolutely. So you said earlier, like you didn't exactly plan to be founder and CEO of two companies simultaneously. For people who are in the audience who
Yeah.
are juggling a couple different businesses at once, or you know, they have an organization that just has, you know, it might have different, you know, business units, or again, it may operate in a similar way that it feels like two separate businesses. Just that high intensity or that high responsibility, I'll call it. Can you give some tips on, or just some of your experience on how do you make it work? How do you tap in and not get completely burned out yourself? You've talked about some of these tools that you have, but you know, is there anything you can share with people about your approach?
I'm making it up as I
I
go
love the
along,
transparency
so
there. That's
it's
great.
not like a grand plan. So
Yeah.
full disclosure
Nobody
there,
does when they're in that type of a,
and
you know.
yeah, and I think a lot of my friends think I'm crazy because they're like thinking about maybe retiring from their one job, and here I
Yeah.
started a second one. And I think for me personally, I still manage my hours so they're a reasonable amount. Like I don't usually work more than 45 hours a week. I may take it home with me, but I love my work, so I don't mind taking it home, and there is something about it's not just the hours though, but when you're running two companies and you're responsible for
Right.
two P&Ls and the livelihood of all your employees, and it's a lot to balance. And so there's a psychological pressure
Yeah.
that comes with that. That's undeniable. Like you double down on
Yeah.
that. It you may not be working double the hours, but there's a
Exactly.
psychological pressure. So I think you have to find effective ways to deal with it, mostly by having really great teammates who can help fill those voids and
Yeah.
play those roles. So realizing who you need around you. And then, I think for me, it's almost been like having another client. Because at an agency model, you may have six
Yeah.
clients that you're working on. You go from one to the next to the next. And so for me, running two companies was kind of that same thing, where I drafted and I learned a lot of the best practices that I brought from Cactus as far as leadership and management and teams and reporting and, how we do things, culture things. I just drafted and kind of, hey, it wasn't broken. So let's just kind of do it the same way. But there's also, it's a totally different
Right.
business model, and there's been a lot of on-the-job training and learning as I've gone because, I'm getting into a territory that is so foreign to me. So there's been some on-the-job training where, kind of have learned some of the lessons the hard way. So I would say, try to look around more corners, get more advice from more people, so you can avoid some of those mistakes earlier on if you're getting into, especially a different type of business model that you may not be
Right,
familiar with.
absolutely. That's a really great point about the people that you have around you. And also, I would assume what you're saying, part of it is like you realize that you didn't have that full breadth of expertise, so that you were like, okay, how can I use this as an opportunity to put more tools in my toolbox, but also bring over all this knowledge and experience that I do have. And I think sometimes when we can start something new, it can feel so daunting, or we have those moments where we're like, you know, you know, I actually think sometimes people can do it where they're just gonna hold it all so close to their vest and not get outside help, because I think they got to figure it out themselves, or they don't want anybody to know that they're the founder and CEO of a company and they're still figuring certain things out. So again, I just really appreciate your transparency about that.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing to acknowledge. I mean, when I probably to a fault, because I knew how to run an agency, so I tried to run this new SaaS business that same way, for better or for worse. I think it made us better in a lot of ways, but other things I probably did the hard way. Or in my situation, I made a decision to not go out and go get funding. Because I'm kind of old fashioned, like I wanted to develop a product that could find an audience base and would generate revenue and a profit. Like, I felt like that was the proper way to grow a business. And I was probably a little short-sighted of the power of like go getting $10 million on what you could do. Not that that's going to solve all your problems. In fact, it could create more, but I've had to you do the best with what you got, right? But I've certainly learned some lessons of things I would do differently to make it a
Yeah,
little bit easier.
absolutely. Absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. But speaking of like lessons and takeaways for folks, I'm curious, like I'm aware that you've had, your run of 33 years with plus of at Cactus is pretty incredible. And you had a really strong run through even through the pandemic when so many people were having a really hard time. So are there any like key learnings that you can share with people about that have been instrumental in your the growth and maintaining that momentum over the years?
There's been, a few times where we've had these kind of major dips that have been really challenging for business. So, having started in 1990, the first one for us was 2001, if you remember what happened in 2001. So, at the dot com bust, and there was a lot of telecoms that broke up that caused a lot of fracture in the economy. But the dot com bust was a big part of that. Things were really tough economically and for business. And then, boom, this little thing called 9/11 happened. And that was just this, complete fall off in everybody's distraction. It was like a pandemic, right? Like for the country, like for a year, like no one thought about anything else. It disrupted so much. And so I think that there's these big shifts that you just have to kind of deal with. And so that was a significant one for us. In 2012, when the real estate bubble bursts and it really hit a lot of companies really hard, we had one of our best years that year because we were just well insulated by the kind of contracts that we had. So we were very fortunate. And then, going through the pandemic was a whole different set of challenges. And again, we had some of our best years in 2020, 21, 22. And so I think it's just there's something about staying power of like, having good, meaningful relationships with clients and employees that can help you sustain through those periods where you're not just a flash in the pan. So for me, that's been a lot of it is just putting more meaningful, substantial kind of relationships in place. I think those are the most important things that help you kind of survive
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
storms.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's been great to talk about kind of your evolution, where you've been, and how you've been able to operate. And so kind of shifting gears to looking ahead, as we're kind of getting towards the end of this year, do you have anything that you think is going to happen, or you think that should or could happen more of or less of in 2024, whether it's on the agency side, whether it's on the Cactus side or the Grit Digital side, or just, from your observations of the marketplace?
Well, the thing I keep hearing is 23 has been really a downtime. I think it's been a weird year. I think a lot of industries are hurting. I know the ad agency world, revenue is significantly down, and I think we're kind of a bellwether for what's going to go on because marketing budgets, kind of go with the ebb and flow, and it's one of the first things to get cut. So when we start suffering, you can start seeing the point of it. The point of the spear, but I think there's other things happening. I've heard this thing like survive until 25 is kind of this thing that's been going around, meaning that it's going to get better,
Take
but
a
it's going to
while,
take a while. But I've been going more with make more in 24, because I feel like that'll be an improvement. And so that's what we're trying to do, is trying to get revenue growth back on track in 24. And hopefully it's better from there on out. But I think it's really about embracing change as it comes. I think the pandemic, you never want to be stagnant, right? Like, there's something to be said to sticking to your principles and operating a certain way and holding true to those. But you also have to be flexible and embracing change and new ways of doing things. And so I think that that's something that companies need to do. There's kind of that balance between steadfast and consistent, and also nimble and open-minded and willingness to change and embrace new ways of doing things. And so I think hopefully there's this reckoning too about work-life balance, and whether you do it, you know, in the office together or remotely, and how teams collaborate, and, you know, can you still build a dynamic culture that produces meaningful work and do it in a more modern, and how, what are the strengths of working that way and embracing that? So I think that, you know, we're just trying to meet people where they are and continue to keep certain things and certain standards in place that we want to reach for as a business. And so how do you find that middle ground is just something I think all of us have to try to figure out what is right for
absolutely.
Us.
Well, I'm on your take of more in 24. I don't want to, I'm going to say no to the survive till 25 route.
That doesn't sound very fun, does it? Yeah. Just hanging on for a year.
You know me by now, Joe. I'm too proactive to just hang around and survive till 25. No, thank you.
Yeah. Although, you know, 24 is, you know, it could be a real shit show. Although compared to 2020, like, I don't think 24 is, I think 24 is going to be a breeze compared to that. But that was a hell of a year with, you know, the pandemic and then the election going on at the same period of time. It was just it'll live in infamy for me. Like, I can't imagine being a high school student who graduated in 2020. And, you know, that class of 2020, actually I have an idea for a documentary that I'm am working on in the background, but it's really profiling the class of 2020 high school students who graduated, who, you know, had their whole spring graduation experience, prom, parties, spring sports, wiped out all those graduation parties they never got to go to. And then we shipped them off to college, where we locked them in the dorms for their whole freshman year. And so just thinking about, like, you know, how much challenges that particular class had to face and overcome, I think is an interesting insight into, you know, what it must have been for those students who were going through that transition from high school to college in the midst of that. I think it's just an interesting topic, because there's been a lot of that generation is also maligned for various things. And I think there's also a lot of really great stories out there of triumph and, you know, people who have persisted and succeeded in the face of a lot of challenges. So, I think it might make for an interesting story, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that would be super interesting. I can definitely identify with kind of the fits and starts and the challenges that have been happening over the last several years. And so, you know, I agree with you. I think, like, as we're going forward in 2024, I think it's, you know, so much of what are we going to do to contribute to the reality that we have, and how are we going to, you know, just to put that positive, proactive step forward. Because you're right, you know, I think a lot of us, it's human nature to want that change to happen more quickly, or for things to get better, air quotes, more quickly. I know for me, it's been my Achilles on, you know, patience. So I have to try to remind myself consistently, you know, have the patience and keep moving forward and kind of keep depositing every day, keep depositing the effort. You know, and we'll get, and to your point about, like, having the right people around you, you know, I think is really helpful too. So,
it's, definitely a part of the solution for
sure. Well, I'm so grateful that you spent time with us today. And one thing I ask everybody at the end of the show, because we hit on so many different topics, what do you hope that people take away from the time that you spent with us today?
For me, the thing that's made a huge difference in my career and my life is, where I hang my hat every day and the kind of work that I'm doing. And when I learned to really trust myself and, let go of anything that was holding me back and really follow my heart and really do work that meant something to me was a game changer. And it's really fueled my entire career where I feel very fortunate to get up and do what I do every day. And I think, putting that, whatever that might mean for you, and I think everybody's on their own journey of like what's going to, really deliver that purpose and satisfaction. What's something that I can feel really good about doing, whatever that might be. I think just being in touch with that is something that can really lead to a productive and I think a meaningful
Yeah, I
life.
love that. I'm so glad that you shared that. And as you did, it reminded me. I've kept this on my desk for probably 2 years now, and I'll hold it up to anybody who's watching. It just is like a little paper. It says, do something that means something. And it's a reminder to myself. And it's something that, it's just that North Star of like what I'm doing, to your point, like trust your heart, trust what you're doing. And when it means, when you're doing things that actually mean something to you, to others, it's a big difference maker, especially through those tough times that you
Yeah,
thought
I love
about, that
that.
you talked about.
Yeah, I love that, Shauna. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. So
Well, it's
yeah.
so good to spend some time with you
Thank
today.
you so much. I
Always
appreciate
good
it.
hanging out with
Yeah,
you.
likewise. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day. And folks, thanks so much for tuning in.